Hello, friends. Alan Kirshner here from Eschatos Ministries. Since we went live with Bible Prophecy Daily, we have delivered a program every weekday to listeners. With a premillennial, pre-wrath, rapture focus, our Bible teachers are the best at helping Christians understand and prepare for Christ's return. Would you prayerfully consider your regular support of this ministry? You can easily do so by clicking the support button in the corner of the podcast website at BibleProphecyDaily.com. Thank you.
You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hello, this is Bob Hunt of Zion's Hope in Winter Garden, Florida. In this session, I would like to examine a couple of verses concerning the beast from the earth, or better known as the false prophet. The verses I'll be looking at will be coming from Revelation chapter 13 and verses 14 and 15. I'd like to look at this concept or this term called the image, and that'll be the focus of this session. The false prophet is first introduced in chapter 13 of Revelation. There doesn't appear to be any mention of him in any other book of the Bible. Oh, there are many false prophets throughout the ages, but this one is unique. He will work with the beast from the sea, or Antichrist, and together they will make one final attempt to take control of planet Earth, as empowered by Satan. Ultimately, the spiritual powers of darkness, as led by the dragon, are leading the way. The Lord will allow him to have the most freedom in regards to power that he ever has had. Many will be led into captivity. Many more will be killed. And his prime targets will be the Jewish people and Christians. As we look around the world today, it is easy to visualize this playing out in the very near future. Anti-Semitism is running rampant throughout the world. It's only be a matter of time that the world will not even tolerate Israel defending itself. Oh, but for the grace of God and the sovereignty over Israel, they would have already been exterminated. Also, Christianity and its influence are plummeting faster and faster with every passing generation. The United States, once on fire with revivals like the Great Awakening, is now nothing but a smoldering ember. Our Christian faith has been replaced by a false substitute that focuses on ourselves and not the Christ who died for us. The Bible is still held up to be the Word of God, but the power within it has been emptied with the addition of man's interpretations and cultural norms. Did we not learn anything from the Pharisees of Christ's day? Have our hearts grown that cold? The stage is set. Mediocrity is the norm, and the truth has been replaced with the lie. Our world is very close to the end. The beast of the sea and the beast of the earth will very likely enter this world as heroes. And this world desperately needs a real hero. Unfortunately, the world looks in all the wrong places. Climate change, economic issues, housing crisis, food chain problems, spiritual emptiness, and a strong push to bring the world together as one. These are just some of the problems facing our generation. These two beasts will partner together, with the beast of the sea as the primary figure, and they will have all authority for 42 months, or the last half of Daniel's 70th week. The beast from the sea will demand worship, and the beast from the earth will use all his powers to make this happen. And what powers he will have? Great signs, fire from heaven, and all forms of deception will be thrown at the world to manipulate unbelievers into worshiping the Antichrist. At the beginning of this 42-month reign of terror, there will still be believers here on earth. But the lines in the sand will be drawn. obey the false prophet's commands or else. Well, in this session, we will examine one of the most interesting and controversial weapons that Satan has in his arsenal, the image. Let's read Revelation 13, chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. It's a very strong language there, as we see the importance of the image in end times, and especially to the beast. This image has been greatly discussed by many theologians as they try to figure out what this image is. The purpose is clear: to deceive the world and cause them to worship the beast of the sea or the Antichrist. Notice that the person behind this scheme is the false prophet. However, the power he has been granted to him, it says, first by Satan and the dark forces of his world, but ultimately and absolutely by the one who controls all things, God himself. We may wonder sometimes why God allows certain things, but we do know that he is good, and all things work together for our good and his glory. Also notice in this passage, in verse 14, those who dwell on the earth. This describes unbelievers, not believers. Believers' dwelling is never on earth. It is a place where unbelievers have claimed earth as their home. This does not mean that there will not be any believers at this time, but unbelievers will be the targets of the false prophet's deception. Believers should not be deceived. We should be watching and ready for the expected maneuvers of this duo. The false prophet will be performing many great signs, but now he will command the world to participate in his evil plans. Make an image, he commands. It's interesting, this is not the first time the world is commanded to make and worship an image. If we turn to Daniel chapter 3, we see Nebuchadnezzar commanding the very same thing, the leader and world leader of Babylon. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 as a reminder. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. It says he made an image, and likely he commanded the people of that time to make this image. But look down at verse 4 and 5 and 6. We read this. Then a herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at this time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the gold image that Nebuchadnezzar set up." Verse 6, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace. In other words, they will be killed. Notice that all the peoples, nations, and language, this is equivalent to Revelation's those who dwell on the earth. In verse 7, so at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They obey. The world falls for the command, and they fall in worship before this image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. It's interesting and worthy to note, the same spirit behind Babylon will also be coming and controlling our two beasts of Revelation. The same command to worship will be issued. The dragon, Satan, never gives up seeking and desiring this kind of worship. Wanted to also pick up Daniel's heroes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are examples of great faith. They refused to fall before the image. Listen to their response. Better yet, memorize their response. Look down at verse 16 in this chapter, and we read it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, they had their minds made up. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, pay attention, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. God chose to deliver them. This does not mean God will always deliver those who trust in him, but he is certainly able. In a latter day scenario, some may escape, some may be imprisoned, while others are martyred for their faith. That is the Lord's sovereign choice and his prerogative. I think we need only to mimic these three young men's response to the command to bow before the image. During the beginning of the 4th century AD, the Roman Emperor Diocletian waged war against Christians. He martyred many Christians who would not bow to the Roman gods in worship. There are many stories of Christians quoting this very passage in response that we see from the young men in this passage. In response to their impending deaths, they would blurt out Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Our time may come, but may we never bow a knee to anyone other than our Lord. Be ready with your response. Over the years, this image has been filled with intrigue and mystery. How could an image be made by mankind that could speak? Then along came the television. Is this it? People would speak. Well, then the notorious smartphone was created. It's on us all the time. FaceTime, Facebook, X or Twitter are among the many ways to receive an image that will speak. But most of the time, this image is not made by men. It is merely transmitted image of the one speaking. This has all changed with the advent of artificial intelligence, or AI. The computer age has now reached a new level of technological advancement. Now a computer that can learn and program itself using the World Wide Web as its information source and base, it's arrived. It can learn to speak. It can learn to think. It can learn to imitate human responses. We are only in the infancy of this breakthrough in technology. It is amazing what mankind can create. Let me ask you, who will control this technology? Secondly, what happens if it gets into the wrong hands? I recently attended an annual conference where computer hackers gathered to share information and the latest advancements in the field. And at the conference, the topic of artificial intelligence was heralded as the next monumental stage in computer development. I listened, and I thought, yes, but what kind of controls can or will be put on this development? At the end of this conference, I posed this question to three different companies who each hosted tables promoting their own expertise. Not one of them had an answer. Two of them had little concern for these kind of questions. I thought, whose morals will be infused into AI? Who will control it? And what if the wrong person was able to kidnap the entire thing and use it for his own purposes? It's only the third person, the third interviewee, and the last one who was concerned. He listened. He was thinking. He responded, I don't know. I never thought about that. I guess it cannot be controlled, he said. He followed and said, now that it's out there, it will do what it does. At this point, my mind was whirring with all kinds of thoughts. Could this be the technology that will be used in making the image? Seems to be the best one yet. Rapidly, this AI is being placed into all kinds of uses. I recently called in an order for a pizza and was very frustrated by the person answering the telephone. Later, I found out it was not a person at all, but an AI-generated response from corporate taking my order. How real and how scary was that? Here I was talking to a computer and did not know it until later on. How great a technology there is before us. How deceiving a technology is before us. The beast from the sea can gain control over this technology. He will have access to the entire world and demand all that he desires, including the worship he so desperately wants, Satan's ultimate goal. This image that speaks could soon reflect the image of the one who desires to be worshiped. This image may be physical in nature. Yet the real danger is in the spirit that defines this image. God is spirit, yet he made man in his image, which includes many of the attributes and characteristics of his being. You can look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27 for reference. God's image is made up of many qualities and parts that are unfathomable, yet in some sense we are made in this image. The core of this image is his goodness. I'm drawn to Exodus 33:19, when Moses desired to see the Lord and to see how the Lord responded. Listen to Exodus 33:19. Then he said, this is the Lord, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Listen again. I will make all my goodness pass before you. Of all the qualities and characteristics of God, this is the one he chose, goodness. That's the essence of who God is. In contrast, at the core of the beast's image is Satan, and his being reflects wickedness and evil. This is the one who will demand worship, and AI could be his tool. May we never bow. The consequences are eternal. Listen to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 11 to get an idea. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they will have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. What a consequence to pay. But notice verse 9 and verse 11 frame the whole idea of what's going to happen to those who worship the image. How exactly will this image work and play into our lives? What details will there be? Technology likely and could play an important part and role in latter-day events. But could the beast empowered by Satan command the world to develop AI in a way that will lead to global worship of all that is evil? Time will tell. The possibilities are there. We're getting closer and closer to this point. Scripture does state he will command the world to make an image that we are to worship or die. Are you ready? Do we have the faith of the three boys and Daniel? Real Christians will. Stand firm, the Bible says, and never bow before anyone but God. Well, this concludes our study of Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15. I pray that you find this message both informative and thought-provoking. For more information and teaching on eschatology and other biblical messages, I would refer you to Zion's Hope website at www.zionshope.org. Shalom and grace be to you. Amen. Stand firm and be ready with your answer. The time is near. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.